Not wholly your fault. He's still fragile in some ways. The scars of the war and his imprisonment run deep. Some of them are still raw. And I remembered with some guilt that this was Shiny's fault. I've made my decision, I said very softly. She saw what was in my heart, or perhaps it was just obvious. If what you said was true, she said, if you do care about him, then ask yourself what's best for him. I did, and in that moment I imagined Shiny, what he might become, long after I died and had turned to dust. A wanderer, a warrior, a guardian, a man of soft words and swift decisions, and little in the way of kindness. Yet he would have some, I understood. Some warmth, some ability to touch and be touched by others. I could leave him that much if I did it right. But if I died, if his love killed me, there would be nothing in him. He would distance himself from mortal kind, knowing the consequences of caring too deeply for us. He would snuff that small ember of warmth in himself, fearful of the pain it brought. He would live among humanity, yet be wholly alone, and he would never, ever heal. I said nothing. You have one day, Yena said, and vanished. I sat at the table for a long while. Whatever the lady had done to still time, it faded once she was gone. Through the kitchen windows, I felt nightfall, the air turning cool and dry. I could hear people walking outside, cicadas in the distant fields, and a carriage rattling along a cobbled street. There was the scent of flowers on the wind, though not the flowers of the world tree. In time, I heard movement upstairs, Shiny. The pipes rattled as he ran a bath. Strafe was not shadow, but it had better plumbing, and I shamelessly wasted wood and coal to give us hot water whenever we wanted it. After a time, I heard him let the water out, moving around some more. Then he came downstairs. As before, he stopped in the doorway of the room, reading something in my stillness. Then he came over to the table and sat down, where the lady had sat, though that meant nothing. I didn't have many chairs. I had to hold very still as I spoke. Otherwise, I would break and it would all be for nothing. You have to leave, I said. Silence from Shiny. I can't be with you. It never works between gods and mortals. You were right about that. Even to try is foolish. As I spoke, I realized with a shock that I believed some of what I was saying. I had always known, in part of my heart, that Shiny could not stay with me forever. I would grow old, die, while he stayed young. Or would he grow old too, die of old age and then be reborn young and handsome again? Not good for me either way. I wouldn't be able to help resenting him, feeling guilty for burdening him. I would cause him unimaginable pain as he watched me fail, and in the end, we would be separated forever anyway. But I had wanted to try. Gods, how I'd wanted to try. Shiny sat there, gazing at me. No recriminations, no attempts to change my mind. That was not his way. I had known from the moment I began this that it wouldn't take much, not in words anyhow. Then he got up, came around the table, and crouched in front of me. I turned, moving slowly, and oh so carefully to face him. Control. That was his way, wasn't it? I tried for it and held myself still. I fought the urge to touch his face and learn how badly he now thought of me.
Did they threaten you? He asked.
I froze. He waited, then when I did not answer, sighed. He got to his feet. That isn't why, I blurted. Suddenly, it was powerfully important that he know I was not acting out of fear for my own life. I didn't. I would rather have let them. He touched my cheek then, once and briefly. It hurt, like breaking my arm all over again. Worse. That was all it took to shatter my careful control. I began to tremble, so much that I could barely get the words out. We can fight them, I blurted. The lady, she doesn't really want to do this. We can run or...
No, Ori, he said again. We can't.